handy way, and that is heard Fridays at 2 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic with Ken Gale and Donna Stein. And, yeah, stay tuned.
That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Guys, you're on the air.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Geller.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for November 6th, 2020.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Cecil Corbin Mark was an exceptional leader, a giant voice for environmental justice. A tribute on mainstream media is usually for a celebrity or politician, someone in the public eye. Here at WBAI, we can do tributes to activists, people whose lives are dedicated to helping other people without needing or getting a claim. Cecil's passing leaves a hole in the heart, yet a lasting impression on the ongoing work that he initiated.
I'm getting two feeds here. We'll have our guests introduce themselves so you have a voice to go with the name. Peggy, we'll start with you.
Peggy is not available.
Oh, Peggy's not available. Oh.
Who is on the phone?
Is Corrine with us?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My name's Corrine Taylor. I am Director of Federal Legislative Affairs for We Act for Environmental Justice. Glad to be here today.
Glad to have you.
Okay, guys, before you go on, continue on with the show, I strongly suggest don't listen to the stream. Just make sure you have your headphones on so you'll be able to listen to the air, because I think that's what's confusing you.
I'm not on the stream. I'm on my phone, but I'm going
to
put my
headphones. No. I'm talking to the host, not to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Peggy going to be coming on?
Well, I'm trying.
Okay. Well, Corrine, let's start. Tell us about WEACT.
Sure. Well, WEACT for Environmental Justice was founded about 32 years ago in Harlem. We had our founder, Peggy Shepherd, Chuck Sutton, and Vernice Miller Travis were activists, young activists in Harlem, really concerned about environmental issues. And it's just grown out of their work to become what we believe is one of just the preeminent environmental justice organizations, not only in the city of New York, the state, but also federally. I work in Washington, D.C., in the D.C. office, doing federal engagement and federal policy here. So the number of projects that we have are reflective of just the number of issues that exist in Black and brown communities in our urban areas. And so we cover, and we've had a history of covering things like the MTA bus depots in Harlem, where the vast majority of them are in our communities in northern Manhattan. We deal with healthy homes. Cecil, our former deputy director, was really passionate about toxic chemicals and personal care products and toys, and just making sure that children in our communities had access to products that weren't harming them. We've been really invested in making sure that lead in school drinking water was addressed. Yeah. Also, lead in homes. So we just have a very long history of really being at the forefront of environmental justice policy and just even energy policy in New York. We have our own solar training program that was really the birth and the dream of Cecil that he was able to see come to fruition, our Solar Uptown Now program, where we're literally training residents of Harlem how to become solar installers for free. We're even helping people get OSHA cards for free. So just a really robust energy and environmental policy that is really impacting the community there through job creation, through advocating for healthier homes. Just really proud of the legacy, not only of Peggy, our founder, but the work that Cecil was able to really bring to life in the 26 years that he was with us.
He will be remembered. I'm sorry.
What, do we have Peggy with us?
Still trying.
Still trying. Okay. Now, Cecil Corbin Mark, I mean, boy, WEACT was awfully fortunate to have him at doing anything for you guys. And, of course, he did so much. Tell us a little bit, from your point of view, what Cecil Corbin Mark meant to the environmental justice movement.
Oh, man. He was a genius. Like, his ideas and his ability to strategize and connect is something that, you know, will definitely be missed. I've known him now going on 6 years, and I remember interviewing, he was there in my interviews, and, you know, his brilliance and his ability to connect issues and to be such a subject matter expert and to go into so many different rooms and communities and speak to their issues and also lift up other communities to advocate for themselves. One initiative that Cecil was very hands-on with was the Environmental Justice Leadership Forum. That was founded out of all of the talks in 2008, 2009 around climate change, and a lot of the policies that were coming out federally did not include communities of color, did not include, you know, our folks in Appalachia. And so that was a program that he put together and that we've been able to see grow into this really large coalition of about 60 environmental justice organizations in 24 states that are not only engaging in things federally around climate change, climate justice, energy, environmental justice bills, but are also activating at a local level to increase their capacity to do work for the communities that they represent.
I might like to tell you along those lines that Cecil was a mentor to Clearwater. Amanda Jo Green, environmental director of Clearwater, says that Cecil was one of her mentors, along with Peggy and Aaron Mayer, to really understand environmental justice and teach her how to do environmental justice work. So Clearwater owes Cecil a great deal of gratitude, and condolences are sent. Also, Cecil spoke at a New York City Friends of Clearwater meeting, our local sloop club. So he touched a lot of us.
Okay, we have Peggy on the line.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Introduce yourself so people have a voice to go with the name.
Hi, I'm Peggy Shepherd, Executive Director and Co-Founder of LEAC for Environmental Justice.
And Kareen gave us an explanation or a description of what LEAC does. And well, Peggy, what comes to mind when you think of Cecil and his work?
Well, I think of how we started out together, just working the two of us for the first year or so, hiring people, getting the office set up, and really bonding because we were both doing something new that neither one of us had ever done before, start an organization. And we had all of the mundane things we had to do, like get a phone system, you know, find a space, all of those things. And, you know, we really, I think, bonded very, very early on because of really having to rely on each other. And it was a great, somebody said, dynamic duo. And I remember, you know, when I first met him, I was walking down the street. He lived a couple of blocks away from me on Convent Avenue at 143rd Street, and I was walking down the street one Saturday, and they were having a street fair, and I heard this tall young man on the microphone talking about the environmental quality of life in the neighborhood. And I remember, you know, asking one of my neighbors who that was. And a few months later, when we got a settlement of our lawsuit against the North River sewage plant, and I got a grant from that to start the organization. That's when I reached out to Cecil and called him up and offered him a position. He was working for the Bronx DA's office at the time. He called me back and said yes, he would take it, and also told me about how all of his friends and co-workers told him he was crazy to be leaving the DA's office, a good city job, for, you know, a startup organization among what? Environmental justice? What is that? You know, this is 1994. So, yeah, that was when we really got started working together. And, you know, over the years, he became a policy wonk, our energy czar, and really developed a strong presence in Albany, the state legislature, as a strong lobbyist for good progressive policies around environment, toxics, children's health. Really been a major advocate around those issues, working to co-chair the Just Green Partnership, which is co-chaired with by Clean and Healthy New York. And together, Clean and Healthy New York and WEACT have really helped, you know, support about 100 groups around the state to really advocate for important protective policies. So Cecil was his last big you know, one of his last big achievements was finally, after 10 years, achieving the Child Safe Products Act, which really discloses priority toxic chemicals in children's products and works to replace them. And, you know, we all celebrated because we knew how much it meant to him to have that bill finally signed into law. So, you know, I have a million Cecil stories, as so many other folks do around the country. There's been such an outpouring of love and esteem. It was not surprising, but just just in so many quarters, so many areas of the country. And so many people saying, I just had a two-hour talk with him last week. And I'm like, my God, I knew he was busy always, but all of these people had a two-hour talk with him recently. So, yeah, it's been, it's just a hard loss for us at WEAC, his family, and for him, because, you know, he had spent a lot of time when WEAC was struggling more, when the state legislature, you know, wasn't in Democratic hands, and we really couldn't achieve a lot of our objectives. And finally, all the stars were, you know, some of the stars were aligning that makes our work easier, and he's not here to benefit from that. So that really makes me sad.
Well, he would be glad to know that his work lives on, and that's the best you can do.
And,
absolutely.
And also, he was a teacher, so I would imagine there's a lot of people at WEAC learning how to do what he did. And they'll never, nobody will ever replace Cecil Corbin Mark, but there will people, there must be a lot of people who are striving to fill those shoes as best they can.
Absolutely. We have one heroic young woman who just moved to New York from New Orleans last month to take a position as a policy advocacy coordinator working for Cecil. And she'd only been on staff a week, meeting with him every single day to get oriented to the work. And it really hit her hard. Significantly, you know, when he passed away, because she was actually at the office waiting for another appointment for him to come and go over some of the work plans. So, you know, it's been, you know, tough trying to get her up to speed with everything that's going on, since all of us didn't know everything going on. He was so... he had such diverse interests and networks, and he was really rocking and rolling, bringing in energy projects, strategizing about new energy investments in uptown communities and communities of color around the city. So, yeah, he was had so much energy, so much vision, and strategic, very strategic. And so we are going to obviously miss him. And we're just trying to figure out how we advance all the work at the same level that we've been operating and that he would want us to be operating at. So, yeah, that's a key challenge for us.
Corrine, do you have anything to talk about working directly with Cecil on one issue or another?
Well, he was just such a – he was my direct boss. And like I said, I've known him now, it was going on 6 years. And he was so giving to the point where, you know, he had the answers all the time, but he really was more interested in, like, hearing me or the rest of our team develop our own – train of thought, our own philosophy, our own thoughts. And he was so encouraging of us to grow so that we ourselves could be experts, so that we could be confident in our ability to, you know, speak up for WEAC, to speak up for communities. And, you know, it was just a constant learning from him, and, you know, suggesting things to read, or, you know, even the fun times. Like, he really loved karaoke, and that was something that I was able to share with him a few times. And really, the last time our office here in D.C. Saw him, he flew here like 2 weeks or so before he passed, just to come and have dinner with us. And we had our office in D.C. is now four of us, and two of our colleagues started after COVID. So we had technically never all been in the same place. We'd be on Zoom. And he flew into town to have dinner with us. And he literally left that after dinner. Like, that was his commitment to our staff, to see, you know, to see us grow together, to see us, you know, really lift up the communities that we represent, but do it in a way that was as brilliant and as educated and as thoughtful as he was. So, you know, we're just really inspired by him. And, you know, we're beginning to get our footing and plan things to move forward. And there's just so many times where I've just wanted to text him or call, because he just knew everything, right? But he also wanted us to grow in a way that we could be confident in ourselves too.
That's a sign of a true leader.
Yeah, I remember being on a web seminar where he spoke recently on environmental justice. It may have been climate crisis policy or some other, you know, majority white, not terribly awake, semi-awake group. And wow, did he get the message across in such a meaningful and human loving way? What a loss to us all.
Yeah, Susan Spieler brought him to speak at the New York Grassroots Alliance, and he just had the whole audience in his hand. And I mean, talking about racism in modern day America is not an easy thing for most people to do. And he made it seem, you know, like, well, anybody could do this. And yet, and he would walk, when he would walk from one side of the stage to the other, every head followed him. It was like choreography, you know, everybody watching him. He had everybody's attention.
I must butt in here and just talk about how fast time flies. This is,
come on.
If anybody is ever worried about being on the air and speaking, don't, because you would be amazed at how fast time goes. There is more to talk about, but this will have to be continued. You can hear more of this tribute on our webpage soon with additional guests. We're going to follow this up with an after the call show, and it will be on www.ecoradio soon. Now, next week, we'll be analyzing the results of the election. Returning to our airwaves, our environmental and social justice e-blogger, Ted Glick, and the community engagement director at 18 by Vote, Ava Mateo. Now, what will be the probable environmental effects of this election? If there is no clear winner yet, we'll discuss the results from both angles. Tune in next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
You can get environmental news on a variety of topics by going to www.ecoradio.org. And we invite you to please sign up for our mailing list, and we'll let you know when anything new is posted.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Donna, how can our listeners keep us on the air?
Sally, glad you asked. I got some ideas.
I know. Listeners can become our buddies.
Yep. They can give to www.givetowbai.org. Go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount.
Any amount, right?
Yep. Just think of what this show is worth to you.
Or they go to the www.givetowbai.org website to get any one or more of our terrific premiums by putting Eco-Logic in the search box in the upper right corner.
Yep. Show your love, folks, for WBAI and Ecologic.
And a big thanks to our wonderful engineer, Reggie Johnson. We cannot do this without you. And thanks especially Peggy and Corrine from We Act. What is your website for We Act?
We're on
We Act.
For EJ.org. And that's also how you can find us on Twitter and Instagram.
And weact.org/Cecil, C-E-C-I-L, will give you information on him. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Askia Mohammed. Here are some headlines. The 2020 presidential election is still too close to call, but the state of the race has shifted significantly as Joe Biden continues to gain ground in the remaining battleground states. Early today, Biden took the lead in Pennsylvania and Georgia and continues to hold narrow leads in Arizona and Nevada. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said today that the presidential race in the state is so tight it will necessitate a recount, stressing that right now Georgia remains too close to call. Out of approximately 5 million votes cast, we'll have a margin of just a few thousand, end quote. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham has publicly agreed that Republican state legislators in Pennsylvania and other states should consider invalidating the will of the voters and appoint Republican electors to the Electoral College, regardless of the vote outcome. Republicans control the legislatures in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona. Graham was on Fox News with Sean Hannity.
Should these Republican lawmakers in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, if there's corruption in the law, they don't abide by the law and they don't allow observers in as sure. the law calls for, should they then invalidate this?
I think everything should be on the table. So there's the process of observing an election that's being violated. Philadelphia elections are crooked as a snake.
Twitter has permanently banned President Trump's former campaign manager, Steve Bannon, who was recently removed from the platform after he called for the beheading of the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and FBI Director Christopher Wray. He made the comment on his podcast, War Room Pandemic.
I'd actually like to go back to the old times of Tudor England. I'd put the heads on pikes, right? I'd put them at the two corners of the White House as a warning to federal bureaucrats. You either get with the program or you're gone.
Concern is growing that supporters of Trump may begin using violence to disrupt the electoral process. On Thursday, the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., called for total war over this election. This comes as police in Philadelphia have arrested two men after receiving a tip that men armed with AR-15s were driving a Hummer up from Virginia to attack the Pennsylvania Convention Center where votes are still being counted. Police stopped the vehicle just north of the convention center. The Hummer had several stickers connected to the pro-Trump QAnon conspiracy theory. And Facebook on Thursday pulled down an account of a group calling itself Stop the Seal that posted violent rhetoric backing Trump and made baseless allegations of vote fraud by Democrats. The group called for, quote, boots on the ground to protect the integrity of the vote. It grew to 365,000 members in one day. Quote, the group was organized around the delegitimization of the election process, and we saw worrying calls for violence from some members of the group, a Facebook spokeswoman said in a statement, adding that the decision to remove the group was among a series of exceptional measures that the company had used to address heightened tension of the November elections. The U.S. recorded more than 121,000 new coronavirus infections yesterday, breaking a record for the second day in a row. 20 out of 50 states reported record one-day increases on Thursday. Coronavirus has infected more than 9.62 million and now killed over 235,000 people in the U.S., according to data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. Globally, there has been more than 48.8 million confirmed coronavirus cases and 1.2